Well, good evening. It's a delight to be here together with you tonight. I have many memories in this building. I think my first time in this building was when I was here for a presbytery meeting as a student under care, taking a number of exams. Those presbyteries meeting in a side room. That was pretty intense. So every time I've been here since has been a great delight, and it's a joy to be with you here tonight. I'd like to open with you in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, a portion out of one of those genealogies in Chronicles. Chronicles is infamous for having these long lists of names at the beginning of the book. In fact, the first 9 chapters, one-third of the book, is a list of names of the tribes of the people of Israel. And it's not there just to fill space. It's not that the writer of Chronicles had a school assignment and had to fill a certain word count or something. But these genealogies are here because they show us the heritage of faith and God's goodness and blessings upon His people. And there's one point in 1 Chronicles 4 where, well, there's a number of points where this happens, but one of them we're going to look at tonight, where the writer interrupts the listing of names to stop and tell us something of God's blessing and grace on His people, on one of those names in the list. And this is a passage that talks about a man from the tribe of Judah named Jabez. Now, I'm mindful that a few years ago there was a certain book about this passage that made quite a splash. But this passage is here a long time before Bruce Wilkinson ever got to thinking about it. And I want to pray tonight that the Spirit would help us to see the gospel in this text and the glory of God's goodness to His people as we reflect on and thank Him for our own part in this great heritage to which we are joined. So I want to read first for you tonight just a few verses out of Genesis chapter 3. And just listen as I read these portions out of that curse that was pronounced by God after the first sin of the man and the woman in the garden. I think you'll hear the echoes in the text when we come to our passage in 1 Chronicles. But here are a few portions from that passage in Genesis 3. To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children." And to the man he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." I think you'll hear echoes of those pains of life because of the brokenness of the world due to sin. As we now read this passage of God's ongoing work of redemption and blessing in the heritage of His promise. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I'm just to get the cadence, I'm going to pick up in verse 8 and carry on to verse 11. Coz fathered Anub, Zobebah, and the clans of Aharhel, the son of Harum. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Chelub, the brother of Shua, fathered Mehir, who fathered Eshnan, and so forth. Let's pray for God's blessing on our attention to His Word today. Lord, we give You thanks for this great heritage that we're a part of. We give You thanks indeed for Your blessings upon us in our own generation and even in this past year. And I pray that You would help all of us as we give attention to this Word, me as I open it, and all of us as we give heed to the work of Your Spirit amongst Your people, as testified here in this passage tonight. Amen. Well, we had a special treat in my home this Thanksgiving. My parents came to join us. as did all five of my siblings and their spouses and their children and an aunt and a cousin. We had roughly 30 people in our home for Thanksgiving this past week. It was a great delight to have that time all together. And one of the blessings of that time was sitting down with some of those of the older generation and hearing them talk and tell us about past generations that we didn't have the privilege of meeting. The author of Chronicles is doing something like that for us here in our text tonight. But there's something very unusual in this passage that we have just read. Typically, these genealogies just kind of rotely go through so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so and so on. And generally, these genealogies are following the heads of households, the heads of clans, that line of the heads of clans with understanding that there are many more households around them. But there's a break from the norm in this passage, as a man is introduced from the fringes of the tribe of Judah. Notice in what I read and in the text, if you have it open, Jabez has no direct link stated to the previous generation. It just goes from the sons of Coz, and then all of a sudden we've got Jabez here. And then the following verse, verse 11, picks up with a guy named Heluv, who's not identified with Jabez either. As a strict lineage genealogy, Jabez shouldn't even be named here. He's part of the tribes of Judah, but he doesn't appear to be part of this line of the heads of clans. But it's as though the author cannot pass by this generation without telling us about this man from amongst those many tents of the tribe of Judah and inserts it here as part of the text. Though he's not in that direct line that's being recorded, as it seems, he is noted for us as most honorable amongst his brothers in that generation. That opening expression, most honorable amongst his brothers, is not a word of arrogance, as though this man asserted himself, but it's a word of recognition that in this generation, his brothers, his peers, recognized a great work of God's grace in this man's life. And his name is honored because of it. The testimony of Jabez was honored by his generation and recorded by the chronicler for God's glory and for your encouragement. Now, the chronicler tells us three things about Jabez in this text. It tells us about his birth out of pain. He tells us about his petition in the face of pain and of God's blessing, pouring out grace to eclipse life's pain. First thing that he tells us in verse 9 is that Jabez was born out of pain. Perhaps there was a medical trauma surrounding his birth, and it's a miracle that he has survived. We might think by way of comparison of the account of the birth of Benjamin, born to Rachel in Genesis chapter 35, and how on his birth, out of great difficulty, Rachel named him Ben-Oni, his original name, son of my sorrow. Not as a statement of curse by any means, but as a declaration of what God has brought forth, sparing this child born out of much difficulty. Thus the mother of Jabez has named her child Jabez, a word that sounds similar to the word for pain, not the exact word, but a sound-alike term. Perhaps he was born out of a medical trauma, or perhaps he was born out of great emotional pain. We're not told what the circumstances were, and we don't need to know what they are. Instead, what we are given is a virtual quotation out of Genesis chapter 3, where God told the woman that raising children would be marked by pain because of the curse on human sin. But we don't need a reminder of life's sorrows in our text. And that's not what made Jabez's testimony renowned in his generation. Instead, the Spirit draws our attention to what Jabez did, to lay hold upon the heritage of grace in the face of life's difficulties. The focus of our passage is on his petition in verse 10. He was born out of his mother's pain and faced the prospect of pain and difficulty in his labor. Notice another allusion to the curse in Genesis 3, describing his prospects of difficulty and pain in the farming before him. But this man, surrounded by the afflictions of life, laid hold on the gospel, crying out for God's blessing as our Redeemer. See how the chronicle is careful in verse 10 to tell us how he cried out to the God of Israel. This is a gospel petition. It is a cry to the God who made a covenant with this heritage. He made a covenant with Israel and with his household. And he cries out to the God of Israel, the God who established this covenant with his people. And he cries out for undeserved blessing. Oh, that you would bless me. That's the core of his prayer. Now, have you ever noticed how, I'm sure you have, have you noticed how that word awesome is so overused in our culture that it's kind of lost the weight of its actual meaning? Well, bless is another similar word that is so overused that we often fail to appreciate its meaning and its weight. This cry, oh, that you would bless me, we hear it and we assume that it means, give me health and give me wealth and all sorts of good things. But this term bless, with many secondary uses and applications throughout Scripture, its core meaning, the core meaning of this term that is used here, it's a term of patronage or of adoption. It's used to describe a relationship of ownership and of care. And then the term blessings, at its core meaning, refers to the care that flows from that relationship of patronage. So yes, gifts of health and of provision and so forth are blessings to receive. But it's not really technically accurate. Again, there are secondary uses of the word that we encounter. But at its core, it's not technically accurate to call it a blessing if you negotiate a good deal with another business partner or something. It's a blessing when a father or a ruler grants you a benefit as your adoptive patron. Jabez is part of the covenant family of Israel. And as such, he cries out. His cry arises from a life surrounded by difficulties, but he lays hold on the God of Israel and petitions for his favor as our gracious, adoptive Heavenly Father, as our covenant Lord. Oh, that you would bless me, God of the covenant, in the face of the pain before me in my labors. Oh, that you would bless me in this way, he prays. Enlarge my border, my fields and my pasture lands, and keep me from harm, from the damage to my farm, resulting in more pain and loss. In the face of the hard calling to press forward his family's holdings in new territory, he cries out to God to bless his work. You see, when the tribes of Israel were given the land of Canaan, it was a land that was partially developed and settled. It had cities, and it had fruitful fields flowing with milk and honey in which to begin their residence. But it was also a land of wilderness and wild frontiers, filled with thorns and thistles and wild beasts. Each tribe was given an allotment with a calling to take the land of Canaan, cursed in its cities and its wilderness because of Canaanite sins, and to serve God's purposes of redemption. The tribes of Israel were called to cultivate God's glory in the old cities, in the new structures of society they would bring to those cities, and to foster God's glory in the very fruitfulness and beauty of the land as they expanded the borders of the land's fields and pastures and orchards. This cry of Jabez is not a cry for selfish gain. It is a cry to the God of Israel for his blessing in this task as he looks out to his own role in this heritage, expanding the borders of his own tribal allotment. Maybe Jabez had little or no cultivated land in his inheritance. His allotment is in part and perhaps in whole, territory that promises a lot of pain as he looks out at it. So his petition is for God's blessing on his labors. As a participant in the calling on his tribe to push back the boundaries of fruitfulness into the barren wilderness. This is a cry that surely each of you can relate to in your own frontiers and callings. As you have labored to bring God-glorifying fruitfulness in the various callings you have received in this past year, you too have inherited family sorrows. You too have inherited different kinds of vocational thorns and thistles. God has already pushed back the boundaries of the church's labor far beyond the tribes of Israel and the land of Canaan as we enter into this heritage today. And Jesus, our King, has sent us forth into the cities and wildernesses of all nations throughout the world. And you too, like Jabez, ought to look in faith to the God of Israel to seek His blessing and to praise Him for it as you labor to glorify Him in your allotments. The closing line of verse 11 is as enigmatic as the opening of this passage. We don't know the exact nature of Jabez's birth. We also don't know the nature of God's answer to his petition. We only know, as we are told at the end of this passage, that God heard Jabez's cry and granted what he asked. The labors of Jabez were blessed in some manner that made his name an honored testimony of God's grace. In an American context, we jump to the conclusion that he must have attained great wealth. But it never says that. It says more about us than about Jabez if we assume that conclusion. All we know is that as Jabez pressed back the borders of his heritage into difficult terrain, God blessed his labors. And so Jabez has become a testimony of God's redeeming grace at work in the heritage of his covenant people. And this is our heritage too. We visit this testimony tonight that we might be stirred to reflect on our own experiences, even in this past year, of God's blessings in our families and congregations and in our labors, and to give the God of Israel all praise. And we visit this testimony tonight that we might be stirred to cry out to God for His continued blessing on our labors, in spite of life's obstacles, even in the year ahead. May He be glorified as He blesses you, His covenant people, as you lean upon Him in the labors of life. And may He be glorified as you praise Him for the marks of His grace at work in your midst. Please pray with me. God of Israel, we thank You for adopting us into the great heritage of Your redemption. We too look back on our lives and recognize we have been blessed. We look back upon the work of Jesus on the cross for our forgiveness, for our adoption, and for our blessing and care. And we thank You and praise You. You have shown us great grace we have not deserved. In our personal lives, in our families, in our studies and our jobs and our congregations, and in our communities. We acknowledge these blessings tonight as marks of Your mercy and kindness upon us, and we give You thanks, not simply for these encouragements, but for the great encouragement of experiencing Your love by them. I pray that You would help us to labor ever in faith, leaning on Your grace, even in the year now just around the corner before us. Amen.